Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It is a wild and wacky Open Lines Wednesday. All right. Glad to take your calls. Our number is unlisted. We ain't giving it to you. You got to find it in order to call. But really, no, it's, folks, it's on the screen. It's
844-769-2944.
Right. A couple of announcements before we get back to the phone calls. Folks, thank you. I do have. Still have remaining copies of my book, Stained by Blood, here at the office that were actually mistakenly shipped to me. So that was kind of an interesting. I tracked that down. It was really an interesting thing how that happened. But anyway, if you want a copy, go to stainedbyblood.com. I will sign it for you, personalize it for you. Instructions on the right hand side of stainedbyblood.com. It's on the right hand side. And, it'll tell you how to do it. Also, I'm told, and I found the link on Amazon, that the Kindle version is now available. But you're going to have to look for it, or just go to stainedbyblood.com and click on the link to right underneath the where it says you can buy a personalized edition is a link to the Kindle edition. And that's pretty cool. So there you have that. And I want to thank you. And if you've read the book and if you want to put up an honest review at Amazon, that's always encouraged, an honest review. So thank you for all of that. Also, New Jerusalem CD from Joe Charles. Man, I am so excited about that. That's coming out next week. What a fantastic, what a talented man Joe Charles is. People ask, who does your bumpers, who do the music and such? It's Joe Charles. So he's got a new CD coming out called New Jerusalem. Very excited about it. Watch. Well, if you go to our YouTube channel, there's a link to Joe Charles there. We're going to hear more about that as the time progresses. Steve Quayle, guest on Friday. It's going to be a fantastic show. The first hour is going to be dedicated to methods of preparation, given the hostile environment out there in America and all throughout the West. Second hour is Ross Powell is going to be on. And the third hour is going to be your questions by way of email, studio@hagmanandhagman.com. So if you have any discussion, so if you have any questions for Steve Quayle, Friday he's going to be on. The third hour he's going to be taking your questions primarily about preparation. Now that doesn't mean how do you can bacon.
Okay. How do you can bake?
I don't know.
You cook it first?
Yeah, I think you have to catch the pig first, right?
I'm just kidding.
But anyway.
As long as they're not from Fukushima, right?
And that brings us right here. Look, radioactive wild boars, they're breeding like rabbits by the and overwhelming the Fukushima nuclear disaster zone.
Do they glow in the dark?
Have you ever seen a wild boar up close and personal? Let me tell you something. Those, I'm mistakenly... I looked at Wild Boar in the face one time, and I thought I was looking at one of my critics. But then I realized, oh, that's a wild boar. What? No laughter? That fell empty, didn't it? Okay. Anyway. Seriously, radioactive wild boars at Fukushima breeding like rabbits, overwhelming that area. Think about this. The boar population, and if you've ever seen a boar, they are ugly creatures, and they mean business too.
Yeah, they're angry.
You know? Yeah, they got. You think I got a bad disposition? Yeah, see a wild boar. I mean, they're never happy. Okay, especially they hate it when you wrestle with them. Well, actually, they like it because I don't know. They
make just, a meal out of you.
No, yeah, you wrestle with a. And that's why you never wrestle with a pig because you both get money and the pig actually likes it. So, anyway. But seriously, since the disaster, what happened at Fukushima back in 2011, the boars in the area have doubled in number and become more aggressive and become radioactive. Where you can't make this stuff up. As in the days of Noah. Are we there? I think we are. It's horrible. And when I was talking, I was on the Common Sense Show. I was on Ted Broder's program today from 3 to 4, and we were talking about Fukushima, actually. Why didn't, for example, why is it still, why was nothing ever done about it? I mean, to the extent where it could have been, where all the nations could have gotten together under the United Nations and done something about it. At least tried. And there's no attempt to. You know, look, Bush is excoriated constantly for his handling of Katrina. How many people, especially in the progressive Marxist, Fabian socialist left, are taking Obama to task, honestly, over Fukushima for not being a leader in that? And I get it's in Japan. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I understand it's not a domestic issue. But you tell that to the people of Washington.
It is a domestic issue.
Yeah, of course it is. It's a world. It's a global issue. So do they know something we don't? I don't want to take the time away from our callers. And our job, whereas Rush Limbaugh says it's a caller's job to make the host look good, our job is to make the callers look good. But we don't have to because we've got the smartest callers in the world. So go ahead.
All right. We're going to go to Charles in Florida. Charles, Nathaniel, Evan, Gary, Christopher, then Cindy. Starting with Charles in Florida, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Doug and Joe. It's really good to be on with you guys. I'm a first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
It's great to have you.
It's great to, yeah. Glad you called.
Thank you. So I'm actually kind of calling on my mom's behalf. I have a couple brief questions I'll run by you. She's hard of hearing. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you is actually about one of the guests that you guys have had on, Anthony Patch particularly. This is her question now. She's curious. Mr. Patch talks about basically CERN being used as a device to open up a portal, and
yes.
You know, all this stuff. He really gets into it, and I don't particularly follow him all that closely. Though I think he's probably a good guy. But why would CERN need to be opening up a portal if these demonic entities can already come into our dimension or realm or whatever you'd call it?
That's a great question, and I do not have the answer to that, but I can speculate as to why. You know, we read in the Bible in the account of Genesis where they're building the Tower of Babel, where they're trying to build a gateway into heaven, and the Lord comes down and confounds their language and spreads them across the globe. And it says in there that they continued in their efforts to build the tower. Now, is CERN some kind of interdimensional portal, or is it the key to opening up the abyss on the world? We know in the book of Revelation it says that Satan is cast down onto earth and is very angry and knows that he has but a short time. And that's a good question. You know, my speculation would be, do they need a man-made portal? I don't know. But when you look at things like the Newark earthworks and the different Nephilim mounds that we find in Ohio and throughout the Midwest, that we went to a conference with Russ Dizdar last October, I believe, or a year ago, on these mounds. And there has been throughout human history, from the Mayans in Mexico to the Incans to the Egyptians, that have these archaeological structures that seem to have these gateways or portals. Now, whether they are something that is needed or maybe something that is helpful to these demonic entities to enter the realm of Earth, I'm not sure.
If I could throw my two cents in there, I believe...
Please.
Yeah, during World War II, the Nazis, their occult program, and Steve addresses this partially in Empire Beneath the Ice, they were developing these, portals as well. And a movie that I was never able to watch all through, in fact, I think Russ Dizdar or Steve Quayle, I can't remember who it was, said, watch just the first 5 minutes of Hellboy. And to understand her first 15 minutes or whatever it was, to understand what happened during the Nazis period of time, or during the Nazi occult stuff. But I believe CERN is to bring in, demonic and demonic entities. And I think it's why do they need it? I think it sounds as weird as this might sound. I think it's a matter of expedience and convenience. And I mean, that's just my opinion, okay? So, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's great. So my next question was going to be, and my mom was the one that actually found the article. I believe it was on World News Daily, but it was about the Temple Arch, I guess, that's going up in London and New York. And personally... I don't hate anyone, but I really dislike the radical Islamic movement, particularly ISIS. I think that they're barbaric. I think that they're despicable, and I think that what they're doing is just, it's horrific. Those are things that will keep you up at night, I think, that if you're a convicted Christian. But so my they went in wherever I guess this original temple was, and they destroyed it. Which probably isn't all bad considering what it was probably used for. But, I mean, on the other hand, and I try not to stray too far on the side of intellectualism, but it was an archaeological piece. So to see something like that 2,000-4,000 years old, however old, destroyed, is just really terrible. But why do you think, I didn't realize we were going to be a permanent fixture in New York and London, why do you think they are, what's the significance of that? What's the spiritual implications of that, them putting this Baal temple arch in such a large city like New York and to London?
Well, the structure...
Is it going to be a portal, I guess?
Yes. Just one word answer for me, yes. Joe?
Yeah, and I don't know about the portal aspect of it, but it definitely is setting up... it was destroyed in Syria, yet they feel the need to, you know, to set these up here in New York and Los Angeles, and there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, set up across the earth. And this is a worship to a god where they would sacrifice their children to Moloch, to Baal. It's one of the most evil deities in the Bible. And it just speaks further to the moral bankruptcy of our country. And they're doing this for the deity or small g god worship, idol worship in this country.
This is bringing Nimrod back. I mean, the Antichrist, paving the way to the Antichrist. And there is more, in my view. These are, could it be more to these gateways that are being constructed than we're being told? Absolutely. I believe that to be the case. Mankind is now entering into a period known in the Bible as the last days. And you've read the description of what the last days are. I will say that the last days will be filled with strange, odd, Noah-like giants. We're also seeing the transhumanistic aspect of it. No one can deny the transhumanism and the artificial intelligence and you know, Billy Crone, Pastor Billy Crone, fantastic show. I mean, look, and at Dallas when he showed all of the creatures or the man, what would you call them? Monsters, basically. This is what's coming to this to globally here. And you know what? Most people are not going to be able to handle what they're seeing, or they're going to be so deluded and so moved to the other side that they're going to be a part of it, I suppose. And people might laugh and say, oh, you're just being an idiot, Doug. It's a hyperbole. Well, boy, I hope so. I hope I'm wrong.
Do you think that these gates are going up? It sounds like you mentioned one in Los Angeles. I had only heard of the one in London and New York. So it sounds like these are going to be going up in many, many big cities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They've announced what? New York and San Francisco or Los Angeles or London. New York and London. But what they haven't, there's not been a lot of press. It's my understanding from research. If you go back to the initial destruction, and then right after that, there was an article that I've been looking for, and I think it was out of the either the Mirror or the Daily Mail. I'm not sure which one overseas, where they were planning. When I say they, I'm talking about the so-called architects behind this were planning on up to 100 locations worldwide, if not. The majority of those here in the United, or many of those here in the United States. So why? If you were going to just simply rebuild the ruins of the Temple of Baal in Syria, you would just do it in one architectural thrust, one location. Rebuild it where it's destroyed, or in a museum somewhere. You wouldn't actually take it to Times Square. So as an investigator, I'm looking at this and saying, why are they doing it? Why are they doing it?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like when I said, I don't mean to stray too far on the side of intellectualism or get caught up, because obviously Baal, like mentioned, it was by far one of the most detestable little g gods in the Bible. excuse me. Absolutely. That was kind of my sentiment too. Is if they are going to replicate this. For, I guess, the sake of preservation, just because it was an archaeological monument that was destroyed, then why not do it in a museum? Why not do it in a respective place that you know, would be far more suited to something like that, where people could come and, I guess, appreciate the archaeology behind it? One of my last questions was going to be, in the month of April, I know that, as you guys were mentioning, and it's funny, me and my brother actually aren't on speaking terms right now. He's pretty worldly. He unfortunately has gotten caught up in a lot of fleshly things. Bodybuilding, for starters, is one, and then steroids, really bad. And I think that it's dramatically affected his attitude towards and his outlook on everything, but especially God. And he's grown to be very arrogant, and he's marrying somebody that is also not a believer, though he isn't now. For the vast majority of his life, he was, and if he ever does come back to God, he'd be unequally yoked, which is, you know, kind of a disturbing thought, too. But the month of April, my brother's getting married on the 19th, and that was exactly my thought when I thought of April 19th. I think of Hitler's birthday, I think of Columbine, I think of the Boston Marathon bombing, I think of Virginia Tech, I think of all these horrible atrocities, all bloodshed related, that have taken place. What is the significance of those, two weeks in April? It seems like there's just such concentrated
Satanic high holidays. Satanic high holidays. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Beltane. May Day. Joe. I mean.
No, you're right.
You know. I mean, simple as that.
Wow. That's. So, do you think that it's kind of ominous that he's getting married in such a particularly bad bad time, I guess.
No, I don't. No. I don't think so. No, you know, he's not. He's not a pagan. He's not. I mean, right? I mean, he's not. He's not worshiping a false god. He's not getting married. We'll say on
for the purposes of getting married on that day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No. No. Because we all have to live our lives. Dates happen. It's only. I mean, time happens. Dates happen. However, if he is doing it with a specific purpose in mind to honor, we'll say, you know, the god to honor a pagan god, well, yeah, there's a problem there. But no, I mean, I wouldn't worry about it elsewise.
Okay, good, definitely good answers. My last question was going to be, and it's kind of a point of contention, I guess, for me and my mom, is I love music, and I think that, like math, it was probably one of the languages that maybe, you know, God himself even loved most. And in particular, I love playing guitar, and I play a lot of heavier music, and she's made the argument. I try to stay away from listening to secular music of any kind just because I realize how utterly laden it is with just a lot of really bad stuff. And people can argue that, but I really don't think that there's any good place for secular music. But as far as the instrumental work in a lot of secular music, I really appreciate. Do you think it's bad to? I guess her argument is certain tones and certain sounds and pitches, I guess, are demonic, and I guess I don't really feel all that convicted or feel all that bad about playing a distorted or even heavily distorted guitar. What are your thoughts on that? I get how lyrics can be evil. I get how lyrics can be all of those things. I don't necessarily, I guess, get
well,
how
frequencies,
maybe a sound.
Yeah, frequencies do have effects in our physical world. Frequencies can change matter. They can change moods. They can change perceptions. They can. Michael Terrell of WholeTones.com, you know, found back to the biblical music of King David, the proper tone that music was intended to be played at. But yes, frequencies can affect specifically matter and water to a great degree, and we're made up of a majority of water, so frequencies can affect us. And yes, there are negative frequencies out there. This is why we have sound weapons that the U.S. military have been using and continue to use for a number of different reasons, from crowd dispersal to mood changing.
Wow. So you think that there definitely can be, I guess, demonic...
They can kill you with frequencies, yes.
And yes, there's the demonic frequencies or frequencies that are associated with the demonic as well as with godly frequencies. And that's a clumsy way of saying that... you know, there's good and evil in this. And you know, for example, WholeTones, as Joe mentioned, Michael Terrell identified the frequencies of the Bible. And don't forget, I mean, we are beings of frequency being spoken into existence by Almighty God, the God of the Bible. So anyway, yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me on. The last thing I was going to run by both of you is my mom is actually traveling on the 19th. My mom and my 6-year-old son is traveling on the 19th to go to Philadelphia, actually, right, not far from you guys, I suppose, to attend this wedding. Do you think that it's safe to travel? And if not, please, they've reserved their tickets and hotel and everything. Pray for my mom and pray for my brother that he comes back to Christ and that he finds his calling.
Absolutely. And aside from some kind of new threat that the government would come out and say is there, I don't think there's any reason why you'd have to worry about those days for travel. And, Charles, thank you for calling. We will keep you in your prayers, and we will keep your brother in our prayers that, he does come back to,
amen,
to his beliefs. Thank you for the call. You have a good night.
Yeah. Before you, sorry about that. We cut you off. But anyway, just understand real quick here, Beltane, leading up to Beltane, a 13-day period, of time that has a very special occult significance. It's something that you need to understand. Okay, April 19th is a satanic holy day. And April 19th does require that. Once more, please understand, this is for those who believe in the occult. This is not the belief of you and I as Christians, or you and I as sane, rational people. This is the belief system of those people who are worshiping at the altar of Nimrod, at the altar of this god. They believe that April 19th is a satanic holy day requiring sacrifice by fire, which goes back to the Waco situation, goes back to Oklahoma City and such. But most preferably involving the sacrifice of children, and if possible, multiple children. Look at Oklahoma City, look at Waco. And in the occult, again, April 19th begins the second highest holy day called Beltane, April 19th through May 1st. So,
next up, Nathaniel in New York. Nathaniel, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Thank you for having me. First of all, God bless you. I really appreciate your program. I learned a lot. But I have a request, if it's possible. You think you can have a show where you can talk about prepping and all those things, and what are the products that we can purchase that will be the proper things to buy, not go crazy? Because on YouTube, there's a lot of ideas, but there's nothing that we can really hone on properly. Maybe
Friday. One word.
And things like that.
One word. Friday. You got to listen on Friday, because Steve Quayle is going to talk about that. Because prepping right now is, see, when we were prepping for Y2K, or anyone who is prepping for Y2K, I remember, and folks, I actually went out. I bought 12 1-gallon jugs of water. I bought, I think, maybe 20 cans of soup and assorted other items, and put them in my pantry. And I thought to myself, man, I'm ready. I'm serious. I laugh now, and like you did, I'm thinking to myself, how deluded was I back then? And perhaps still am, but that's beside the point. But prepping has changed. And you know, that's you got a great question there. We're going to devote the entire show on Friday to exactly your topic.
And we can try to bring on other guests, too, to have more specific aspects of prepping talked about.
Awesome. And one general thing that I would like to ask the general population of the leaders, wouldn't you think that it will be best that one day we can have a set date that everyone can come out of their houses, out of the churches, and preach the gospel? Wouldn't that be wouldn't that give an impact where we can really do something positive?
That's an interesting idea.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah,
and that's all. I just wanted to ask about those two things, and again, I just want to thank you, and God bless you, and I'll be praying for both of you and for the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. For a great call. Great call, Nathaniel.
God bless you, Nathaniel. Have a good night.
God bless you. Good night.
I mean, I know arguably we should be doing that every day, but what a great idea he had, right? I mean, to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And something that would have to be organized on a local level, each, local municipality, get together with, people who you fellowship with and go out and evangelize. Absolutely. Let's continue on with our calls. Evan in Washington State, thank you for holding. We're coming to you as soon as my computer agrees with me here.
We're actually having network problems here on our end.
What's going on?
And so bear with us. I don't know. We're going to try to bring Evan on here.
Yeah, if you can do it, Eric. Go ahead.
Network is giving us a...
All right.
Fits.
Evan, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Greetings, and good evening.
Good evening.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say I really appreciate everything you've done. And the last time I talked with you was, I believe, the night that Lavoie Finnegan was assassinated. And how much stuff has transpired since then.
Yes. Yeah.
And it just seems every day we're throwing another batch full of stuff that we have to stand tall, stand straight, and look forward and keep our eye on the path. And I would ask you, both of you, tonight, at the end of your show, after you go off the air, that you turn to each other and look each other in the eye and tell each other that, you know, you love each other, because I truly believe that we know how this started in Genesis and we know how it ended in Revelations, but I think we're coming upon times, particularly like Luke 16 and leading into Luke 16, coming out of Luke 15, 21:16. It's, you know, for I will give you utterances and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed by your parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will have you put, some of you put to death. And in you will be hated all because of my name. And the work that you're doing right now requires you to stand tall, and requires, you guys are so blessed, a father and son team that are sitting side by side. I think of listening to Hawk, and you guys are truly the Fandango Rangers that Hawk speaks of, as you ride into this battle that we have. But you know, in the times we're in right now, there's going to come a time that we're just going to end up preaching to the choir, because the others are going to be lost, and they're going to be there to betray us and bring us down. But you know, if we live in the Word every day, and we do the right thing, and we live by the golden rule, and we live by the Word, then we can truly stay on the path, because we're going to be in times they're going to be trying to draw us off the path. Another thing I'd like to say is that we are living in times that I don't even think we realize what's going on. And I'll give you an example. There's a U.S. code that's been on the books for years, and it's 42666. Now, this is not by coincidence. This is by design. This is a U.S. law that every person out there has fallen under, both wittingly or unwittingly. And when I say wittingly, it's because a lot of people refuse to open their eyes. And when you go all the way down to Section 13 in there, it says the recording of Social Security numbers in certain family matters, proceedings regarding that Social Security numbers of any applicant for a professional license, a driver's license, any form of occupation license, a recreation license, or a marriage license shall be recorded on the application. Now, that this falls under a Section 666 in the U.S. Code shows that we are up against a program, a system that is moving forward, whether we believe it or not. It says like something off an animal planet where a snake is eating something, and, you know, it's instead of taking its head first, it's taking its feet first, and we're being devoured over and over again. And, you know, history has just this tendency of repeating itself. And I go back and I think about, you know, this thing that's going on with these Muslim invaders. And people, you know, they say, oh, well, this is just this modern us meddling or this and that. This goes back to, started in 1801 in modern recorded history and went on through 1805. This was a plague that was a plague upon Thomas Jefferson. And the only country in the world that stood with us at the time was Sweden. And Sweden was the very first country that they allowed the hordes to come into unchecked, and Sweden has just been ravished by this. And the people, you know, have to remember, you know, the Marine Corps hymn, the Halls of Montezuma, you know, they were called leathernecks for a reason, because they wore a leather band around their neck because they didn't want their heads chopped off by the hordes that were going on. So we're in times right now that, whether we realize it or not, we must take comfort in our families, we must take comfort in our God, and we must take comfort in the truth. And we're at that time right now. We already know how all this is going to end in Revelations. And we know how, going back to the whole tones you mentioned, and he spoke the earth into existence. That's how we started, with a tone, a word, I am that I am, I believe is what people said, you know, God may have uttered at the time, I am that I am. And, you know, that's why I say to you guys tonight, when you go off the show tonight, you guys do such great work, if you could please just for 1 minute look at each other and just say to each other, I appreciate you, I love you, and I'm there with you. Because you guys are truly Fandango Rangers, as Hawk says. You are the watchman on the wall. But we are in that time right now that we can't debate the definition of is. What we know right now is there is good and there is evil. There is nothing else. There is no gray area there, sir.
No, you are exactly right. And thank you for your kind and very, very, to me, a very humbling description of us. But, you know, we do appreciate each other. And we're so blessed to have the platform that we have. And you know what? We realize, too, something that we're given this opportunity to bring the truth out to people. And as trite as this might sound, that we realize that it could be taken away from us if we are not, if we squander the opportunity, or if we mess up too badly, or if we stray from our intended cause. God can pull the plug on us a lot quicker than man can. So,
and you know, you're here at this moment in time. You're here at this moment in time because you're supposed to be here at this moment in time. And, you know, your actions, your deeds, how you move forward. I mean, we've watched you guys grow without physically seeing you. You know, it's almost like, can you see what I hear? You know, we've watched you grow over the years through your programs. And how you've moved forward. You know, people call in, I could start, you know, my phone call, oh, greetings from, you know, FEMA Region 10, you know, and I send you, you know, empathy and solidarity, you know, and these are all great things to say, but truly we must feel in our heart of hearts, the heart of our souls, that we're doing the right thing. And I truly believe you guys are doing the right thing. And I just think you're so blessed, a father and son, riding this mission together. You know, that's very few fathers and sons throughout history, you Hagmans, you Fandango Rangers, very few. And there you are, riding this journey together. I say God bless you, and I say keep up the good work. And good evening, and thank you very much for taking my call.
God bless you. Thank you,
Evan. Brother, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it very much, and God bless you, and you have a great evening. Thanks for calling.
What a great call.
Up next, Gary in Michigan. You're live on the air, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hello, Doug and Joe. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. 5x5.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, God bless you guys for all that you do. Long time listener at the expense of being a caller that's repeating something that you've heard hundreds of times before. I feel humbled by following the previous callers because they were so eloquent in all of that they had transmitted to you. But the main reason for my call is to suggest some, because basically I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm a truth seeker, just like you guys are. I don't buy all the BS that we're seeing on the news every day and the papers and everything else. So I have been a truth seeker. And I would like to suggest to you, Doug and Joe, because you have such a prominent position in the people like myself that are trying to seek the truth, some future people on your call. And I guess number one would be Chris Ann Hall. And I'm sure you guys have probably heard of Chris Ann Hall, but she's one of my heroes.
She was on, Gary, she was on with us for a half hour.
Last week?
I think it was before. The week before last.
And oh, great.
Yeah, she's a doll. She's a great lady, and she's busy as heck.
And I'm sorry because I don't get to listen every night because kind of life gets in the way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I hear you.
Another one that's really, excuse me, well, you probably know the Merle, Merle Haggard died today.
I saw that, yeah.
Okay. and there's the rumor of the chemtrail flu. Have you heard about that?
No.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, go on.
Okay. Well, that's just something to look into. And the other, one of the other heroes in my list of truth seekers is Larry Arn. He's the president of Hillsdale College.
Oh, yes.
They have several free courses. Of course, they would accept donations along the way, but
I took their Constitution course 2 years ago. I took the course from Hillsdale College, the online Constitution course. It was, I think it was 10 weeks.
Yes, it is. Very, very in-depth and very efficient, whatever. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's great. It's Hillsdale College Online has got some great courses and relevant to today.
Yeah, that's great. The other thing, Mark Baker, the Green Acres Farm in Michigan. Have you heard about them?
No. Joe, have you?
Wow. Just key that in. Mark Baker, Green Acre Farms, Michigan. The Michigan DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, is trying to get him to kill all his pigs because they are... in fact, you had said something earlier about...
the wild boars?
Wild boars, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And what a travesty the state of Michigan is trying against Mark Baker. They've said that you might have... boars that are illegal if they have a curly tail or if they have a straight tail. This is straight out of the Department of Environmental Quality in Michigan. So, anyway, I wanted to run all these things by you. I really appreciate what you guys do. God bless you. And I'll continue to listen.
Thank you.
God bless you, Gary. Thank you so much for the call. We're going to move on. You have a great night, and we'll check out some of the things that you mentioned tonight. Have a great night. All right, we're going to move on to, we have Christopher in PA and Cindy in Louisiana, and those are the last two calls of the evening. We have about 11 minutes left, so about 5 minutes each. Christopher, PA, we'll start with you. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a survey from my daughter's doctor today that alarmed me, and I wanted to talk about that. But real quick, if I could, my friend Steve, he's got some pretty serious cancer that came back, and I just want to put a prayer request out for him.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Steve.
Right. And he's fighting a good fight, and I've been with him the whole time, and we're trying to get through everything. So, real quick, if we could, I got this survey from my daughter's doctor. It's on an 11 by 16 piece of paper, which I don't think is a standard printer size, but it's asking ridiculous questions. And I knew that doctors are asking questions with the Affordable Care Act, but this has taken it to a new level, I think.
Is your daughter, obviously we're talking about a minor child here, under 18?
Yeah. No, she's 14. And it's just an intake survey, and basically they go through the basic medical history, and that's about half of the survey. The second half of the survey asks kind of intrusive questions and nothing that relates to health issues. So,
can you give us an example? I mean, can you give us an example question? Even if it's from memory.
For example, okay, the first section is basic medical questions, background history. The second section is family diseases, neurological conditions, psychological conditions. The third section relates to diet, which the questions are a little bit intrusive, but you could kind of justify it.
Sure.
The fourth section goes into exercise and physical activity. So...
Okay. How about sexual habits? You know, being a minor female, sexual habits?
We're not even at that yet, Doug.
Okay.
So we have physical activity, frequency of activity, duration, tobacco status, smoking packs per day, smoking history, smoking quit status, counseling given, intake, alcohol intake, counseling given, and substance use. Then somehow in that same section they go to faith, tradition, religion.
Oh, wow.
Then after that you have special faith needs. You have vehicle safety, which includes seatbelt use, home use, drive intoxicated or ride with intoxicated driver. You have home safety, which includes water heater temperature, working smoke detector, fire extinguisher in home, carbon monoxide detector in home, firearms in home, firearms unloaded and unlocked. Then you have personal safety, victim of physical abuse, victim of sexual abuse, victim of emotional abuse.
Is this a family doctor, or is this a clinic of some kind? Or and please, I'm not.
This is my local hospital. They're now affiliated. The practice used to be separate. Now they're affiliated with the local hospital.
Okay, it's very similar to what we have here, and what my family has. Our doctor is affiliated with this hospital system. So, gotcha. Okay. Holy moly! All right.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. She had an appointment today. Actually, I got the survey. I found out about the survey yesterday, and I just canceled the appointment because, yeah, why would we answer all these questions that have nothing to do with her health history?
Yeah, and that's a Christopher, that's a great example for many people out there to know what they're going to be facing when going to doctor's offices here in the near future. And this is just the tip of the iceberg as far as information they want. And not only do they want this for personal information and habit behavior filings, but they want it to be able to also sell the information to relevant advertisement and other corporations who would have an interest in information like that.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous. Why would they even go that way? I don't understand it.
Subjugation, and the enforcement will be the bank account by the IRS. All right.
Yeah, they've incorporated into health behavior modification in order to, in their words, lessen the cost of health care. But it is about complete control, not about the cost of health care. Christopher, we got to get to Cindy in the last few minutes of the show. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
No, just put prayers out to my friend Steve.
Steve.
And you guys move along.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, buddy.
Thanks for the call and the information, Christopher. Have a great night. All right. We're going to move on to Cindy. Cindy, you're the last caller of the evening from Louisiana. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hello. Hello. Hello, Doug. Hello, Joe. I'm kind of nervous, so please put up with me, and I'm going to try to make this fast.
It's just us.
It's a pleasure being on your show and being able to have a voice that goes out way beyond even our country, Canada, our brothers in Canada, and all of the people everywhere. So many things that I wanted to talk about were already covered today by previous speakers that called in. It's like we kind of all have our minds on the same things, don't you think?
Sounds like it.
For instance, even the wild hog thing in Fukushima, I just read an article last night about how we're having a wild hog problem in Louisiana, Texas, and California, and quite a few states. They're getting out of control. And get this. This is something everyone needs to listen to. The sodium nitrites that are put in our bacon, our breakfast sausage, our wieners, and our pork, you know, pork products, our luncheon meats of all kinds, sodium nitrites. Well,
yes.
They've come up with this little thing to feed the hogs that has sodium nitrite in it, and it's bait, and it kills them quickly.
Cindy, if I could, when I went to when Ted Brewer took me and my wife out to lunch in Florida 2 years ago, we went to one restaurant, and we walked in, and he went up and asked the waiter, he says, "Do your meats contain sodium nitrites?" When they said yes, he said, "This food is garbage," and we walked out. And we went and found another restaurant.
Wait till Ted Brewer, he's going to talk about this pretty soon, because I listened to him too. And I wanted to tell y'all, I watched the Watchman Conference online, and I felt when I saw y'all and John B. and Sheila and Pastor Langsford and L.A., it was just like seeing family. I know to a bunch of people that are patriots that y'all are our family. And it was just wonderful. But anyway, what I really want to address, and I know time's running out, it's short, John B. Wells last night had a wonderful man on his program. He went by the name of Mr. Judge Darby.
Okay.
And if I may, can I give his website out for everybody?
Sure.
It's called the fourcornersdoctrine.com, but it's shortened. It's a number 4 hyphen CD for a cornersdoctrine.com. And he talks about what happened to our Constitution back in 1870. Things that we wouldn't know from studying history, because I'm a history teacher and an English teacher. I mean, I've got BAs in it. And things that we were never told, the truth about what happened to our Constitution. And he also suggested 2 books to find out more about it. Could I get those 2 books out real quick?
Yeah, yeah.
The first one he mentioned was Consent of the Governed. Consent of the Governed by Jason Hoyt. I guess it's H-O-I-T.
Okay.
H-O-U-G-H-T. And the second one is You Know Something Is Wrong When, and that's the name of it, by Anna Marie Witzinger.
Governed by Consent. And You Know Something Wrong When.
Consent of the Governed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's Jason Hoyt. And You Know Something Is Wrong When by a lady, Anna Marie Witzinger, however that's spelled, W-I-T-T-S-I-N-G-E-R, I'm guessing.
Well, thank you, Cindy.
This Mr. Judge Darby, talk to John B., and he has a lot to say about what happened to our Constitution and explains why they are getting away with all this stuff they're putting on us.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Cindy,
we're at the end of the program.
Out of time.
Thank you for your call and for your information. God bless you. You have a great night.
And we will talk to John B.
tomorrow. Bill Salas will be our guest. His new book, Prophecy Now. Don't want to miss it. He'll be there all 3 hours. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you.